We're happy to welcome back to the program our friend, journalist, author, and activist, Ed Rice. Hello there, Ed.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How are things on the other side of the border?
Gee, Rich, I don't want to brag, but my God, it's fantastic. There are no active cases. There have been no deaths. The premier of New Brunswick province, cites a number of different things, but also included in there is probably some dumb luck, as I think Colin Woodard had it in his piece in Portland Press Herald about how well things are going in New Brunswick. They're going quite well. We hope they continue.
Well, we do too. We're glad to hear that. Well, we wanted to have you on today to talk a little basketball. We're all missing basketball, but one of the good things that's happened of this is the opportunity to see some old games, some replays of some classic Celtics games. And there have been a lot of articles written about the greatest players of all time, and always brings me back around, and you too, to number six, Bill Russell. And we talked briefly about Bill Russell the last time you were on, but you wanted the opportunity to expand on the subject a little bit and why you think Bill Russell has a place unlike few others in NBA history.
Yeah, he does, Rich. You know, that's because I don't normally gear up for an interview when I have an opportunity to chat with my old friend here. But I was thinking all things Sock Alexis, and it was Bill Russell's birthday, and I blew it. So I'm going to pledge to myself I won't do it this time. So we're talking about a man who revolutionized the game. And so I hope that I don't come off with some of your younger listeners. I'm a man in my 70s, and I realize that people half my age never saw him play and see some footage, and probably are stunned, one, at how slowly the game seems to move, that it's nowhere near as athletic. But I'm here to champion the idea that teamwork was something that was really, really prized and valued in the 50s and 60s as the game was played. And when I say that Bill Russell revolutionized basketball, that's indeed what he did. The Celtics were actually on offense when they were on defense. And that might be a phrase that'll have people kind of scratching their heads. But as soon as the other team took a shot, the Celtics were already starting to fill lanes and head back up the court because they knew Russell was going to get the rebound. And that led to fast break basketball and a lot of very easy baskets that the Celtics scored simply by having the numbers going the other way. So Russell, in his book Go Up for Glory, wrote, I thought, incredibly profoundly about how he studied the geometry of rebounding and of the ball coming off the boards, and how even back in college, and of course he wasn't a one-time national collegiate champion, he was a two-time national collegiate champion at San Francisco, he would study the way the ball came off the boards and get it onto the fast break. So extraordinary for the idea of his rebounding. But here comes something that I know that you're familiar with, and I just wonder how many of your listeners really are, and that's the shot blocking.
Mm.
Russell was a phenomenal shot blocker. It meant that when the Celtics were on defense, every single one of them would do the best he could with the man in front of him. But there were two men that were guarding that guy, because if he happened to get by his man, he was going to have Russell there. And Russell would block shots at a point where people would start to get paranoid about where he was and how he's going to block this shot. And here's a point that I really hope people will take to heart if they're not familiar with this. You and I know, Rich, what happens when a guy blocks the ball out of bounds, right?
Right.
The thing that happens there is you give the ball back to the team that just shot it. And unfortunately, not enough people recognize that there's a smarter play to be made. And Russell, if you study him over and over and over again, blocked the ball in a way that it didn't go out of bounds, that there was, sometimes he just blocked it so that he could get it, but he didn't slam it out of bounds. He never did that. He understood that there wasn't any reason to give the team a second shot at the basket. So here's a guy that won, was going to rebound at a point that it's his ball and they're going to be on the fast break and scoring easy baskets at the other end. He's going to block shots in a manner that's going to absolutely intimidate the other team taking the shot. So when I'm trying to suggest to people that he belongs on the Mount Rushmore for which Celtic you choose, it's 11 championships in 13 years, and it's the fact of being one of those people who actually changed the way the game is played. I'd like to also have people think about his athleticism here, too. He could have qualified for the 1956 Olympics in something other than basketball. He was in the top 10 in the world for high jumping. And I don't know that a lot of people are aware of the fact, but that he was ranked in the world. He'd high jumped over 6 feet 9 inches.
Wow.
And so we're talking about just an extraordinary athlete and someone that I would hope people would, you know, frame in a way that just doesn't say, oh, yeah, well, the guy can rebound, but he didn't score a lot. Well, he scored when he needed to.
Well, yes, and we had, I don't know if you ever read the book. It's a great read. Sam Walker wrote it a couple of years back called The Captain Class, and he studied captains on the most successful teams in pro sports history, and this is from all over the world. And he came to the conclusion that certainly in American sports history, there was nobody better as a captain than Bill Russell. And part of that was his absolutely relentless will to win. And that meant, among other things, sacrificing his own offense because he didn't need to score points for the Celtics to win championships.
Exactly. That was the whole thing. In fact, there were several players on those Celtics teams of the late 50s and the early 60s, the team that won 8 straight championships. I know everyone's all excited about Jordan winning 6, but there was the Celtic team that once won 8 in a row. And a big part of that was that Satch Sanders wasn't expected to score points. He was expected to defend the top forward on the other team. Casey Jones was to take the top scoring guard. Everybody was valued not on how many points they scored, but how they contributed to the team winning. And Russell, of course, that was rebounding and that was blocking shots and being the guy who got them out on the fast break.
We're talking with Ed Rice here on Downtown. Well, everybody speculating, again, time on their hands. And so as these comparisons are made, people often ask, well, how would a player from a different era do in today's game? Obviously today, athletes are bigger, stronger, faster. I personally have no doubt that Bill Russell would be incredibly successful if he were playing in this era of the NBA.
Oh, there's no question that this, the players that we can say. It's hard to watch the George Mikans and some of the bigger guys who had no mobility.
Right.
That wasn't Russell's game. Russell's game was to outrun the other center, you know, get down and follow up the play, to be as athletic and, you know, be that shot blocker and do all those things. Russell's one of those guys that, you know, it's like when runners get together and we talk about the great runners of any particular era. It always seems to me that a great runner would be a great runner in any era, and I think Russell is one of those people that he's not one of your classic bigs that can't move and just gets as close to the basket as he can to score. You're absolutely hitting it right, that nail right on the head when you suggest that in any era that this man would be somebody that would be formidable for just the skills that he showed.
And even you watch that old black and white footage and you just watch the grace and the way he moves up and down the floor, and he stands out from the crowd of just the way he moves, the way he is able to use his body.
Yeah, that's a key point because, I mean, there is footage. You can see some of the later games in the 60s, of course, were televised. And, he's one of the players that doesn't seem like he doesn't get up off the floor because too many of them seem like, well, they didn't get hurt. Yeah, it's because they don't jump and they're not that athletic. They have basketball skills, shooting, passing, dribbling, but Russell's one of those people that gets up and down the floor like that. You know, another guy that I'm always pointing out to people, you know, looking back into the 60s, and I just ask him, see if you can follow the ball, and that's Pete Maravich. Because I never saw anyone that could pass, dribble, and shoot like that man could, especially in college. I don't think there was ever a greater college basketball player than Pete Maravich. And I know there's this YouTube footage of him, and it's just spectacular because he looks like a magician. You just can't follow the ball because he's just magical handling it. So there are some of those people. I think they do transcend eras, and we could easily say, yeah, they'd be great players in any. You know, one of the things I noticed that it was an anniversary of the Havlicek stole the ball moment. And one of the things that I'd like to point out to people, you know, Boston's always the city that gets point to for its racism and the issues with civil rights that it had in the 60s. There's no sweeter moment, I think, between a black man and a white man than the footage that goes past the point when Havlicek's stolen the ball. The crowd is surged onto the floor, and a lot of the footage stops right there with Havlicek shooting at a basket down at the other end of the floor. If you just let it go a little bit further, you are going to see a hug between Bill Russell and John Havlicek that is absolutely, several of my friends say it brings them to tears whenever they see it, a white man and a black man hugging each other. And that, to me, typifies the teamwork that was the Boston Celtics.
Absolutely. Ed, we've only got about a minute to go, but I did want to mention some good news and exciting news for you about your book on Andrew Sakalexis.
Aren't you a sweetheart? Here's another batting practice pitch for Ed to hit into the monster seats. Thank you, my friend. Yes, Down East, which reissued my book on Lewis Sakalexis, and that came out in last August. Hopefully when things, you know, stabilize a little bit and the presses can get back, they're shooting for a reissue of my book on Andrew Sakalexis that for the spring of 2021. And thank you for mentioning that, Rich.
And if they're smart, they publish your anthology of wonderful works as well. Whatever we can do to help, we'll put the pressure on, Ed. You know that.
I don't have a better friend than you, Rich. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ed. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for sharing your insight into the great Bill Russell this afternoon. Be well, stay safe there, and we'll talk again soon.
Right back at you. Thank you again.
Thanks, bye-bye. Ed. Ed Rice on Downtown.